Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Now, back to Bonte, Steiny, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
2 hours down, 2 hours ago here on BSNG as we talk NBA basketball. Mark Medina of the USA Today will join us at 12:30. And the countdown is on, fellas. It's time to name the Bay Area's top 10 greatest athletes of all time. Starting on Monday, we want you, that's right, you the listener, to submit your top 10 list at 957thegame.com and tune in all next week as each host shares their top 10. And beginning Monday, July 13th, we'll tally up the fan votes to reveal the final top 10 list, who makes the cut, who gets into the top five, and who becomes the official greatest athlete in Bay Area sports history. Get your submissions ready. The debate starts Monday on 95.7 The Game. Just real quick about that, fellas. How many people will not have Steph Curry at the top of their list as the greatest athlete in Bay Area history? I feel like it's going to be a revolving door between Steph Curry, Jerry Rice, Ricky Henderson,
Barry Bonds,
and Barry Bonds. Yep.
I feel like you totally forgot Joe Montana.
Yeah.
Didn't forget Montana. Didn't forget him.
The thing I like about this is I love you two. It's not a group effort. It's an individual top 10. So, I'll be able to go get mine without you two. Because I felt kind of ripped off on the Mount Rushmore thing because the 14-15 Warriors didn't get enough love for me.
Whoa. All right. Steiny, yes. This is where Guru listens too much sometimes to the station and maybe needs to spend a little more time with the kids and not listen to the Butcher Shop because the Butcher Shop and Bobby Fitzgerald ripped us for picking the play.
Oh, yeah, I heard it.
While they picked – Game 5.
Pretty weak.
Game 5 when Curry lit up Dellavedova. That's not even a top 10 Warrior moment in the last 5 years. So, Guru, don't start that. Yeah. Don't flip on us like that.
Steiny, real quick, Steiny. Over the weekend, they aired, or I had it and I picked it, the first championship where they clinched in Cleveland. And I just got to tell you, and I'm not saying anything people don't know, there's no way to me, and I love Durant, there's just no way there was anything the Warriors did during this dynasty, and we talked to Bob Myers about it, and he even kind of alluded to it. That was the best because there was that part of the unknown. It was the first time they were doing it, and they weren't dominant as they were when they had KD. You kind of expected it. And I'm just watching guys come off the bench, the Barbosas, the whole gang. It was just special, man. That's all. I appreciate the minute, 60 seconds I took saying that. But, yeah, that's it. I just get goosebumps, man. 14-15, that was it, Steiny, for me.
Okay. For you. Yeah. As long as you still for you. I mean, everybody's got their own one.
Thank you, Steiny.
There you go. Sure enough. I mean, but a lot of times when you do that, you want to, like, can we make the official statement for everybody that the first one.
Right, I got you.
You know.
Yeah.
It was wonderful, yeah, wonderful time for the Warriors. Absolutely.
From the 5-0, we're talking about favorites in the NBA. From the 5-0, Clippers, Lakers, or Bucks, I'm pulling for the Lakers. From another 5-0 text here on the Chill Not a Body text line, as a Warrior fan, I wouldn't mind Boston winning, but if it's between Boston and the Miami Heat, the Rudy for Boston or the Miami Heat.
We're talking about the favorites here as the NBA schedule was released last Friday. Mark Medina, again, will join us at 12:30. And, you know, we're seeing the schedule here. First two games, Pelicans and Jazz, Thursday, July 30th. Lakers and Clippers at night. I wouldn't get too excited over the L.A. game because you got to believe they're going to treat it like an exhibition. But who should be the favorite? We were just talking about that. Who should be the favorite heading into the NBA playoffs down in Orlando?
I mean, I would say Milwaukee. Just because in the West, I think it's tough to pick between the Clippers and the Lakers. So I'm gonna pick the team that I think's been the best start to finish, and it's Milwaukee. And I think that the East is still it'll be an easier route than the West. So if I had to pick a team, I would pick the Atlanta Hawks.
Wow. The Hawks.
I mean, the Milwaukee Hawks.
Yeah, oh, I thought
that.
I was waiting for the punchline. Yeah.
Trae Young's on his mind.
Let me tell you what
I sent out.
No. Let me tell you exactly what happened there. I'm looking at this story. Did you see what the Atlanta Hawks are doing with State Farm Arena?
No.
They're making it on Monday afternoon. The Atlanta Hawks announced that the Fulton County Board of Registration and Elections approved the Hawks' home arena for the coming 2020 elections, beginning with early voting July 20th for Georgia's primoff. So State Farm Arena is set to become Georgia's largest ever voting precinct. That's awesome.
That is awesome.
That's more than awesome.
Yeah, that is pretty cool.
I actually wasn't thinking about Trae Young. I was thinking about that's pretty cool what State Farm Arena is going to be doing. The Hawks are going to be doing there this summer, all summer and up until the election.
You know what? Let's hope every NBA arena is open for voting. Let's hope Kentucky opens up Rupp Arena at the University of Kentucky.
Seriously,
the KFC Yum Center in Louisville. Go ahead and open that bad boy up.
Why not?
Steiny, not to change it, but I'm going to shock you too, because I think Giannis has some big questions to answer. And I know it's a team sport, but he's got to be able to show he can get his team over the hump. And when I look at it, it's some good teams, Miami, Boston, Philly, Toronto, those aren't cakewalks. And I think of where LeBron was at in the Laker team before it stopped, where he went through, he'd beat the Clippers, he'd beat injury hobble Giannis, but those are two big wins, you know, within a week. And I say that to say now with this break, I think there's no way we can say LeBron is not the biggest beneficiary of the time off. And if it's about mental focus, I mean, Steiny, you're talking about a guy, not that we saw him running out of gas, but now you basically pause the season. He ain't eating Big Macs and donuts, so you're right. He probably was staying in shape, and now he gets a breather, and this is the, all right, eight games, and then you go on that run. I got to believe it's LeBron. I just got to believe it's the Lakers. I said,
what about
Giannis's
Kawhi?
Giannis's coach just said he was as healthy as he's ever been.
But so it wasn't about health with Giannis. It was basketball with Giannis.
No, because he had the knee injury against the Lakers. Remember that?
Oh, I'm sorry. He got the knee
injury against the Lakers when everybody wanted to give LeBron the MVP.
But last year against Toronto, what happened?
Don't forget the freaking the Bucks had lost by 20 to Phoenix without Giannis. His knee was a big concern. Why not Giannis? Why not Kawhi Leonard? Why not Paul George?
Why LeBron? Like, why does LeBron have a bigger advantage than any other player in the league when every single player in the league went through the same thing? Why would you put that on LeBron?
Because nobody's in year 17, and nobody's got the track record on their body like LeBron James.
Well, you know what? That's unfair. You have nothing to back that up. You have nothing to back up that LeBron James is going to be the biggest beneficiary of the COVID break. Like, there's nothing to back that up.
Science.
Oh, science? Can you show me some data?
Well, we talk about fatigue all the time. And when I brought up Giannis's name, I'm talking about last year in the playoffs, Bonte, where Giannis and the Bucks didn't get it done. And nobody's brand took a hit more than Giannis. It was like, okay, even what? If it wasn't his fault, your team didn't get it
his
done.
His brand didn't take a hit.
What are you talking about, dude? His brand didn't take a hit.
He lost to Kawhi Leonard, and the noise from Giannis going to the Golden State Warriors picked up steam.
When you get back Giannis on defense, Giannis in the playoffs was different. You can keep him at bay when you get back on defense, and that's what Toronto did in the playoffs.
Here we
don't
go.
Don't tell me. Giannis, here we go. I'm not blaming Giannis.
25 years
you two
old,
are acting brand
MVP.
New now.
You're 25 exactly. years old,
but Giannis losing to Toronto.
And he's – okay. Okay. And he's not, he hasn't so done
Giannis,
anything yet.
There was no stories coming out of Giannis has got to do it in the playoffs. He's wearing that jacket
I'm
now,
not,
fellas.
I'm not going on to Giannis when you can't prove to me that LeBron James has benefited more than any other player in the NBA. Like,
well,
that's
whoever.
Just...
Okay, Stoney, I'm not getting mad, right. But I could say the same thing for your damn answer. Prove it to me and Bonte. Just because you say it, you don't get a pass. So if you say mine doesn't pass the sniff test, yours doesn't either. You know why? Because we don't know. But
that's
just
right.
You say
we
it
don't
doesn't
know.
Give you the benefit of
that's
the doubt.
Right. You
and
just
I
said it,
the
dude.
Security.
You just
it
said it.
Work that way.
You
man.
Just said it. We don't know. But yet, you say LeBron will benefit more than everybody else. So
it
do
was
you
my
know?
Question
do you
to
not
answer.
Know?
That's
or is it,
all.
Or you're
it was
it
my
fact.
Question to answer, and that's what we do on talk radio. How are you going to say I have nothing to back it up? But
you
your
have
answer,
nothing to back
okay,
it up.
What are you? You what's your answer? And
my
what
answer
are
is
we
have
using
no
to back
idea.
Your answer up?
My answer is we have no idea who's going to benefit and who's not going to benefit. You can't say LeBron's going to benefit more than anybody else. That's
a
not,
guy that's been in
know?
The league 17 seasons.
So what? Who cares? Who cares?
I care.
How does that benefit somebody?
Wow.
I'd say, you know what? It's going to benefit Giannis more. He's 25. He'll be able to benefit more from a break.
He's 25.
I look at it like this.
I would think he'd need a break at 25. Maybe I
don't know. Goo, he was hurt when the whole thing started. Right. He was banged up. So I would say he benefited because now he's healthy.
LeBron James was playing at a high level, MVP level, according to a lot of people. A lot of people were ready to give LeBron James the MVP. I look at a guy like Kawhi Leonard. I look at a guy like Joel Embiid. Hell, I even look at Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons has rest now. He's healthy now. He probably wasn't even going to – it may have been a stretch for him to play in the playoffs with the injury that he had. Joel Embiid as well. How could he not benefit from this rest? So, look, LeBron James, does he benefit because he's played the league for 17 years? Absolutely. But why not Anthony Davis? Why not Kawhi? Why not Paul George? Why not Damian Lillard? Why not Zach Collins? There's a number of teams that benefit from having rest. Number of teams. But let me ask you guys this one. Is there a dark horse in this playoffs? We know who the favorites are. Is there a dark horse? You guys got a dark horse? Is it the Rockets?
Portland.
Is it the Sixers? Portland.
I
Portland.
Got Sixers Portland. On mine.
Why Portland? Because they could be the most drastically different team from before and after if Nurkic and Collins can play. And I do think that they've got a player who's good enough to carry a team if they're not playing great.
Yeah, mine's Philly, and you just talked about it, Bonte. Ben Simmons, had there been no pause, all likelihood he might have missed the playoffs. It would have affected what Philly was trying to do. Now everybody's back at full strength. You talk about that heartbreaking loss to Toronto last year on the shot. Again, I'm giving everybody the benefit of the doubt, but Sixers at full strength with Ben and Embiid, I mean, I just don't – I know Milwaukee to you guys may be a better team, but, man, I got my popcorn ready to watch that series. And to you two, it sounds like you got Milwaukee favored. I understand. But if they had to go up against Miami, even Boston or Toronto, you know, that's not going to be easy. And I know it won't for the Lakers, too. But for the Lakers, when I look in the West, it's just the Clippers that they got to worry about to me. And I could be selling us, you know, Houston short or whatnot. Yeah.
Boy, no Avery Bradley. No, Avery Bradley, I think it's going to be a bigger loss than what people think. I thought he was returning to form that he had a few years
tell
ago.
Me, go ahead.
I just think when you're talking about – I think I think there's some good teams in the West. I think Denver's a damn good team. Depending on what's going on with Utah, if they can be together, they're going to be a tough team to beat. Apparently, people think the Rockets are going to be a problem in this playoff. I don't know if they are or not, but it would not shock me if Denver gets to the finals.
Wow.
They have a team that's been together more than the Lakers or the Clippers. They've been together now for 2 or 3 years.
I feel you on that one, but
I'm just saying,
I'd be shocked. I'd be shocked that they actually made it. I would.
Now, is that because of the pause, Steiny, or you just think that's just they lost game 7 last year to Portland at home, and they're gonna this would be that natural jump. All right.
I think they're really good. I think they're young and they're getting better. They're a little like the Warriors were back in the day, in terms of who knows they may win it this year, and it'd be their year that they won it before everybody kind of expected it, like kind of the Warriors did that year. I'm not comparing them to the Warriors in terms of the talent or that they're going to be the
second
final
best player.
Five straight years.
If I ask you two real quick, who's the Nuggets' second best player?
Jamal Murray.
Okay, all right.
Jamal Murray can light it up.
He can ball.
He can light it up. No, I mean, the Rockets are obviously, they're getting a lot of steam here, a lot of buzz. I like the Portland pick. Let's see if they make the playoffs, because I'd love to see the Lakers and Portland battle in the first round. I think that could be a very, very intriguing series. But the Clippers are still my favorite. Clippers are still my favorite because I still believe they have the best player in the game. They don't have the MVP in the regular season.
Yeah, yo, what do you know?
Do, baby? That's right, Kawhi Leonard. I mean, and that's why it was, they were showing game one. Man, I was watching it over the weekend for a second. Game one of the 2017 Western Conference Finals between the Warriors and the Spurs. And Spurs up 23 points. And Kawhi was unstoppable. Like, nobody around here in the Bay Area. They don't even want to touch that series, Steiny and Guru, and give the Spurs a legit shot. I thought the Spurs, in that game one, did whatever they wanted to do. It's the same year they blew out the Warriors on opening night. Kawhi Leonard has been the best player for a long time, maybe for the last year and a half. Obviously, Kevin Durant has something to say about that. But I'm taking the Clippers as a favorite in the West, and in the East, I think it's the ultimate crapshoot because Steiny and Goo, I don't believe in everything else outside of Giannis Antetokounmpo. I'm not a believer in Eric Bledsoe. I'm not a believer in Chris Middleton. I'm not a believer in those guys yet. Like, I could see Miami knocking them off. I could see Philadelphia knocking them off. I could see the Boston Celtics knocking them off. And nobody's giving the Toronto Raptors a shot. They're still tough and still have a hell of a head coach in Nick Nurse.
What player in the league has – what player in the league, as the playoffs roll on in the past, has faded the most? Or has been the victim of fatigue maybe more than any other player?
I'm going to go the beard, Steiny. I'm going to go
okay,
James
well then,
Harden.
Then I would think that he may be benefiting more than anybody else from this.
That's true. Lost a lot of weight.
Dude,
lost a lot of weight, too. Lost a lot of weight. He's going to be fresh. Let's go out to our main man, Antonio, real quick in Oakland. Antonio, who's the favorite coming up in the NBA playoffs? You're on 95.7 The Game.
Man, I'm with you. It's the Clippers, man. Like, and I'm also with you. Like, don't sleep on Toronto and Philly. The Celtics. They can give Milwaukee a run. I don't know if they'll beat them, but they could beat them. I can kind of see that actually. And Avery Bradley's a big loss. He guards Steph Curry better than anybody in this league. He does.
Curry's not in the postseason.
I admit that. Oh no, but I'm just saying. If you can guard Curry better than anybody, I mean, you're a pretty good defender, right? I would say.
I'm with you.
I mean, speaking of you, Steiny, Denver Nuggets, drug test alert. Come on now, stop it. Like, at the end of the day, I think the Clippers going to win as much as I don't like it. Like, I was in Lake Tahoe this weekend for my birthday, and Clippers fans talking less. I had my Warriors Champions t-shirt on. I don't like Kawhi Leonard. I don't like Patrick Beverly. But being objective, I think they'll probably win it. That's just me, it's a long layoff. Kawhi's Mr. Low Mansion as it is. And he has, this extra rest, so it's like, I think they're coming out. That's just me. Being objective.
Thanks for the phone call, Antonio.
Man, Clippers. We ain't never going to see eye to eye, Matthew.
I'm just saying, as I'm trying to figure out who might be held, I'm thinking maybe a team that's been together for a few years. Got to gel
maybe
in
a
hurry.
Team.
Maybe.
Who has the advantage here when it comes to seeds? This year, do seeds even matter, obviously, because there's really no home court advantage. I don't care if you put the Lakers on the court or the Clippers on the court. Man. You bring that court from Staples Center. Does it matter this year? Is it all about matchups as opposed to seeding? Like, why would any team in the top four in each conference care about seeding at this point? Because of matchups?
Yeah.
I would think. Try to avoid somebody that gives you problems. But other than that, Bonte, this is why I can't wait to watch, and hopefully we get it. I got to keep adding that in, because just the more I hear you guys talk about hoop, the more excited I'm getting, and I just hope, you know, we get to see it all the way through. But Bonte, that's it. It's going to be the same damn court all day long, like the NCAA tournament. It's just got to be who we want to avoid. And other than that, everything else is, you're gonna beat this team because you play better basketball and you execute it, not because of the fans.
I mean, here's what bothers me is trying to set up a narrative to a pretext for what might happen. So you heard Jay Williams. Like, Jay Williams has set the table that if LeBron James wins it, it may be one of the greatest accomplishments in the history of sports. All right? Well, my feeling is, like Guru's kind of doing the opposite of that when he says LeBron has benefited to such a degree by this layoff that he has an advantage, meaning it should be easier for him to win it. Well, What is it? I mean, I don't really buy any of it, to tell you the truth. I don't believe anybody's got an advantage. I don't think, why would it be harder for LeBron to win a title this year than Kawhi to win a title this year? Why would it be easier? I have no idea.
And I hear you. I'll just say this about Jay Williams, because we heard Steve Kerr on our station with Damon Radulkowski. He said whoever wins it, it may be more impressive that they won it during what we're dealing with, the pandemic, Bonte. And I totally believe that already, just with the pause in the season. So even if it's Milwaukee or somebody shocks the world, I will give that team, not person, more credit for winning it, as opposed to, oh, they need an asterisk. It's not as good, because I think all what we're watching in these teams that they have to deal with and where they got to go play, it's going to be more impressive, whoever the crown champ is.
Right.
And Steve Kerr said as much.
Yeah. The Jay Will thing really bothered me. It really, really bothered me. And Jalen Rose had the perfect facial expressions when he basically compared LeBron James and said what he's doing is Ali-like.
Yeah.
It's too much, Steiny. I wasn't going to bring it up today because it
not
had my
Kaepernick,
blood boiling.
But LeBron, and we love you, LeBron.
Because it is a narrative saying, oh, because Kobe died and with the Lakers, it's going to be the – like, it's just silly to me that narrative is even being placed out there. So now if LeBron James doesn't get it done, now what? What's the narrative going to be? Like, that's what I think about, Steiny, when I hear people like Jay Will pop off about things like that. What's the narrative going to be if James Harden wins the title? Oh, it's an asterisk because they played the bubble. He didn't have to deal with not having to go to Staples Center for 4 games out of 7. Like, I don't – everybody's – it's a clean slate for everybody.
Exactly.
It's a clean slate for everybody, you know? And that's why it bothers me when Jay Will says things like that.
Well, Dave McMenamin of ESPN also brought up the Kobe dying. Why is it assumed that LeBron is impacted more by Kobe's death than anyone else?
That's right. Man, I have nothing.
It's absurd. Steiny, it's absurd. It's absolutely absurd.
I think it's absurd.
I got a confession real quick, B. It's part me too. Because earlier this year when we were in studio, I said LeBron should be MVP, and I've checked myself over the weekend because of his age. That ain't part of the criteria, dude. No matter who the said player is, just because he's doing it at that age, that doesn't – but I was using that as a criteria, man, and I'm looking back on it like – as much as I marvel at a player doing it in an older age, that ain't part of the answer, man. That doesn't count. But I got caught up in LeBron mania.
You did get caught up in LeBron mania. 650, what a great question. We can answer a little bit later after Mark Medina. Would the We Believe Dubs still beat Dallas in the Orlando bubble? That's a hell of a question. Hey, who knows? Here's what's coming up on 95.7 The Game, brought to you by Harris Ranch Beef. Our good friend Mark Medina of USA Today, he'll join us here on BSNG to talk about the Orlando bubble, what's going on in Walt Disney World. Mark Medina coming up next. It's Daryl the Guru Johnson, Matt Steinmetz, Bonte Hill, and it's all sponsored by Harris Ranch Beef.
Now back to Bonte, Steiny, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Don't forget to download the radio.com app and search 95.7 The Game. Add it to your favorites. Don't miss a second. Whether you're at home, in your car, or at work, you use your rewind feature. That's the best feature on this app to catch any moments you missed from the last 24 hours, including Andy Benoit, who joined us at 11:15 today to talk some football, Cam Newton, and Nick Mullins. Also tell your smart speaker, hey Alexa, or hey Google Play, 95.7 The Game. Let's bring on our next guest, friend of the program, a superstar now in L.A., fellas, now writing for the USA Today, Mark Medina, formerly of the Bay Area News Group. Mark, man, hope you're safe, hope you're sound, man. How you doing, buddy?
Man, I'm doing well because I am talking to the premier superstar in Bonte Hill.
No, stop. It's Daryl the Guru Johnson and Matt Steinmetz. They're the real stars of this program. I'm just trying to ride their coattails here. Mark, you wrote a great article about the Orlando bubble. Tell us about this Orlando bubble down in Walt Disney World. What was your big takeaway from what is going to be the scene down there in Orlando once the playoff or once the NBA resumes July 30th?
Yeah, good question. I mean, the thing that really intrigued me in wanting to detail the Disney setup is when I've talked to people around the league, one of their concerns was the fact of, hey, why aren't the Disney employees under quarantine in this bubble, and why aren't they subject to testing? And I think, you know, this is such a delicate issue. You can look at it both ways, but when I talked to people, you know, that represent different unions with Disney, they were saying two things. One, the reason why these employees aren't going to be under quarantine is you just have to look at the reality that these are thousands of employees that are minimum wage workers, and ask them to be staying for 3 months without being around family is unrealistic. And then as far as why they're not getting tested for COVID, you know, one union employee told me that Disney frankly thought it was too expensive. But at the same time, you know, there's a lot of questions to be asked of why they won't get tested, but they've set up all these specific protocols that they think will make sure that no one's in harm's way. These guys, every worker is going to have to take a temperature check before they leave the house, when they get to work, and if they're, you know, have a temperature over 104, they have to go home. You know, they'll monitor symptoms, and the thing is, you know, for any time that these workers are sick, they're still going to get paid. So that reduces maybe the incentive of a worker feeling pressure that they have to, you know, suck it up and go to work just to be able to make ends meet. So when you look at that and the fact that the NBA has established that none of the Disney employees are going to be in near proximity with NBA personnel, they're going to be cleaning rooms and cleaning the properties when they're not there at practice or games, you know, they feel that this is as good as it can be and making sure that no one's in harm's way.
Mark, I'm curious. Are you going to Orlando? And then I guess my second question is, do you think there will be an NBA champion crowned this year?
I am going to Orlando. Like with everything in this world right now, I mean, there's so many moving parts, so I don't have exact specifics of timing of how long and when. But I did get the word that I'm going to be there at some point. And I think that there will be an NBA champion. Look, this is, well, there's no way around it. Like, this is a risk, and you have to take it lightly. But I think because of how detailed the NBA has been with its 113-page health and safety protocol, where, you know, guys have already been tested last week. For any of those 16 players that are tested positive, they're going to be able to be out of quarantine by the time they get to Orlando. And when they start doing the testing once they get into Orlando, if there are any positive cases, they'll be in quarantine before the season starts. That being said, I'm not naive to the reality that there's going to be more testing and more cases that come up, because that's just how this virus works. But I think because, you know, unlike the real world here, the NBA bubble is going to be subjecting the players to so much testing. All the social distance rules with masks are going to be heavily enforced, that I think that fortunately I don't think anyone's going to be in harm's way, and I think that they'll be able to finish the season.
Mark, we just had a discussion about if any player or team benefited the most from this layoff, assuming they get back and get to playing. Does one team or player come to mind for you?
Yeah, it's an interesting question, because I think every team is going to be struggling off the bat with just rustiness and conditioning, because they haven't played a game in, what, 3.5 months? But I look at the Philadelphia 76ers and Houston Rockets as two teams that can be, you know, real disruptors, because, you know, Philly's a young team. They were dealing with some injuries before the season got shut down. The Rockets are so unconventional, as you guys know, that, you know, when they're playing against teams that are just maybe trying to get back into shape, maybe jacking a bunch of threes will be the answer there. But I still cling to, you know, the favorites are still going to be both L.A. teams, with the Lakers and the Clippers and the Bucks, because I think it really comes down to, you know, talent always trumps a lot of things. And, you know, I think with those three teams in particular, you know, you have a lot of maturity, a lot of experience, where I think a lot of these guys knew the importance of staying pretty disciplined with both your diet and your training, you know, even when accounting for all these, you know, all these restrictions that these guys had, because they didn't have access to the facility. And just, you know, it's been a tough few months for everyone because of what's going on in the world. But I think that they are probably going to be the best at, you know, kind of winning the weight, as Clippers coach Doc Rivers has put it.
Mark Medina here on 95.7 The Game now writes for the USA Today. That is very interesting, Mark. And look, we're talking about favorites, and we're talking about the Bucks. We're talking about the Lakers. You hear about a lot about LeBron James. You hear a lot about the Rockets. A lot of people are picking the Rockets to make a run in this thing. It feels like, to me, on the outside looking in, just here in the Bay Area, that nobody really is talking about the L.A. Clippers. And that's a team. Now, granted, I understand Lou Williams has a decision to make on whether or not he wants to go to the Orlando bubble. But, man, they're getting rest for Kawhi, Paul George, Montrezl Harrell. They're deep. Why aren't the Clippers, it feels like, getting a lot of love nationally, Mark?
I mean, here's the thing, Bonte. I mean, they don't get a lot of love in L.A., right? Because it's all about the Lakers. And
that's
Lakers,
a good point.
I think why they're not getting a lot of attention is you haven't heard a peep from them at all, really. I mean, except for Patrick Beverley playing NBA 2K and, you know, throwing the controller. They haven't really been out, you know, out in the open. But I think that really you can flip a coin as far as which L.A. team has the advantage, because, you know, before the season was ending, you really saw this collision course where finally both teams were fully healthy. They started, you know, kicking into fifth gear. So now it's a matter of kind of all the things we already knew, but in a different context of, like, you know, which players are not going to be susceptible to injury because of, you know, having to shed off the rustiness and get your rhythm down, and which players have really maximized their training. And I think you could probably make a case for both teams, but I think right now where I'd handicap it, I put the Clippers at an edge over the Lakers right now, simply because Avery Bradley has, you know, informed them last week that he's not going to be part of the season because he was telling ESPN he has concerns about his 6-year-old son and his health issues. So, you know, you don't want to take that lightly. He's a very good perimeter defender, and, you know, all of a sudden you have to deal with new rotations and all that. But I still think at the end of the day, with both those teams, it's really going to come down to how healthy and effective are those two duos, and LeBron James, Anthony Davis, Kawhi Leonard, and Paul George. And you can really go either way when you talk to people around the league with that.
Mark, how do you think Milwaukee and the Lakers, both of whom are up a fair amount of games on the number two seed, will handle their eight games before the playoffs. And then kind of what about, what about the Clippers in Denver right now? They're separated along with Utah by just a few games for the second seed. What's the incentive to climb in terms of getting a higher seed?
Yeah, I mean, there's a pretty significant incentive that's evaporated because there's not really this like home court advantage because it's just crickets in the arena. There's no fans, so I think really the only incentive is, maybe if you're trying to chase matchups with seedings. But, what I've gathered over the years, whether it's a high seed or a seed or a team that's just trying to get into the playoffs, I don't think that teams are proactively doing that. So I think, to your overall point of how will they handle the schedule, I think the primary thing will be, making sure no one gets hurt and trying to get all the rustiness out of their system before, the actual playoffs begin. But it's going to be a challenge, not just because of the fact that they haven't played, but the strength of schedule for everyone. There's no easing your way back into it for both LA teams, for Denver, for the Bucks. And I don't want to say I was surprised by it because I think partly how this season is formatted is the NBA wants to have as many marquee games as they can on TV so people watch it, and that can help recoup some of the lost money that has happened. But I know before they released the schedule, I was talking to one assistant coach in particular on a team that was, kind of on the edge of the playoff picture. And he was wondering if the NBA was going to have some of the top contenders play a lot of games against teams that, frankly, don't really have a shot at making the postseason, like the Wizards, the Phoenix Suns, and the San Antonio Spurs. And I think those teams in particular, I'm really, going to be skeptical of how much energy and purpose they'll have out there. But if they were to play those top contenders, they could have treated these games as glorified exhibitions where it's really not about the result at all. But I think because these are actual competitive games against tough teams, it's going to be a tough balancing act on how they thread that needle.
Mark, we keep hearing the word bubble, bubble. And for the people that don't know, how much ground does that cover? What is the bubble and where does it start and end at?
Yeah. It's not really a bubble, only because the Disney employees are going to be in and out. But they say it's a bubble because it's all quarantined otherwise, and it's on the ESPN Wild World Sports campus where, you have three different venues that they're going to have for games and practices. All the hotels are on site. All the restaurants that are there, it's only available for takeout. So, I talked with a health expert, a few of them, but one in particular, was mindful of the fact that, look, we're in the middle of a pandemic. Florida in particular has had an increase in not only COVID cases, but COVID deaths. But his whole point was, if you construct this kind of environment, it almost doesn't matter if, like, the outside world is on fire. But at the same time, that same health expert stressed to me is all it takes is one really bad case to screw everything up. So that's the sobering part, and that's the thing that I think keeps everyone up at night.
Mark, before we let you go, Mark Medina here on 95.7 The Game. Over the weekend, or last week, basically the NBA could allow players, they're talking about this in the Orlando bubble, the NBA could allow players to wear social justice messages on their jerseys. What have you heard about that? What's the latest on players maybe taking their last names off and maybe put BLM or whatever they want to put on the back of their jersey?
Yeah, I think that's going to happen. You already saw teams in the Premier League do that. I was on a conference call today with Orlando Magic guard Markelle Fultz, and he was saying that he was thinking of the idea of putting a name of a close friend of his who was killed a few years ago. But I think a lot of it's all up in the air. For example, when I talk to people in the league office of on whether they're going to permit, you know, teams to protest during the national anthem. They sounded open-minded about it, but they didn't, you know, have a firm conclusion. But I think when you look at the history of how the NBA has ruled with that, is as much as they've empowered players to speak out on, you know, racial inequality and police brutality, they still made it a rule to stand for the national anthem. But I think that you might see a change in that. And I think more importantly, you're going to see, you know, different initiatives that either the league's funding or individual players are funding in regards to all kinds of issues, whether it's, you know, trying to improve, you know, voting turnout and reduce voter suppression, you know, have guest speakers come into the bubble site or have virtual Zoom meetings, you know, have different initiatives that can address police brutality and law enforcement reforms and other, you know, racial inequality measures. I think, you know, one of the things that really led some of the players to have this, you know, kind of come to Jesus moment, you know, on the conference call after the NBA and the Players Union already agreed to resuming the season, is they wanted to make sure that they're going to use this platform properly and that the league would not only allow them to do that, but that they would, you know, also shoulder some of the responsibility of, you know, backing different initiatives, funding different ideas, and also improving their own diversity. Because, you know, as much as the NBA has been known for being a very progressive league, you know, the numbers show that it's still behind when it comes to the number of, you know, black executives and black coaches. And so the league is trying to do a better job in improving that as well.
USA Today's Mark Medina here on 95.7 The Game. Good to catch up with you. Good luck in Orlando. Once you get down there, stay safe, my friend, and keep doing what you do.
Thank you, guys. You all three are superstars in my book.
There you go. Oh, that's our guy.
There you go. Yeah. Hey, they're the brighter stars. They're the brighter stars, Mark. Love you, man.
Well, guys. It's always good to hear your voice and catch up and talk some hoops.
Absolutely. We'll do it again soon, man. Mark Medina here from USA Today, formerly in the Bay Area News Group, talking about the NBA restarting down in Orlando. From the way Mark talks, fellas, it looked like there's no stopping it. Looks like there's no stopping. Although Adam Silver Friday was very adamant that, hey, look, there may be a chance that we do stop this season altogether, depending on the number of cases. But looks like they're going to fight through it, man. Looks like we will get some basketball July 30th.
Yeah, and if you, it's one of those things where I get it that there's a lot of people who probably don't think the NBA should go through with this or think it's maybe a little too early to do that. But, I mean, the NBA is going to try to pull it off, and if they're going to try to pull it off, I mean, we're going to talk about it. And I'm looking forward to talking about a game.
Yeah, me too. I got to say this, and you guys know where I stand on the issues that we're dealing with as a country, because they are major. How are you guys feeling about possibly with the something on the back besides their name? I don't know why that like Hill or Steinmetz wouldn't be on your jersey. It would be, you know, whatever you chose to put on there.
Well, you have a choice. You have a choice to put whatever you want on there. If somebody wants to put BLM or they want to put Breonna Taylor, I have no problem with that. I mean, that helps with their platform. That helps deliver the message. And that helps, I think, with the issues saying, hey, they're still on our minds. Police brutality is still on our minds. So why not? I mean, you know, I don't have a problem with it. What about you, Steady?
No, I don't have a problem with it at all. It's one of those things where you look at the, I mean, you look at the price. There's no price in terms of a kind of a, there's no sacrifice to the game. There's no, there's nothing about this that takes away from anything. So I'm with you, Bonte. I it's fine with me. It's totally.
Why would it bother you, Goo?
No, yeah, why would it bother you, Goo? It wouldn't bother me. You know, I'm just old school. So I just think of, you know, you could come out and wear or warm up in whatever shirt, I Can't Breathe, whatever you wanted to put on there. But, you know, you got one of these great series and some, let's just Kawhi Leonard makes a shot and years from now you look back on it. And I guess that could be a teaching point then. But it doesn't bother me. But I'm just old school and I don't like when baseball does it. but this is very heavy. But I'm like, man, maybe you could just wear the sweatshirt or what have you. But just to, you know, I like to see Hill or Steinmetz on the back with the number. And I could be short-sighted. That's fine. I'm just old school in that way. And I don't, you know, I just don't like when they do it in baseball and they do the nickname. So it's about to be the playoffs. So I just want to see, you know, the norm.
Gotcha. Interesting. I don't have a problem with it. Don't have a problem with it. And, heck, you know what? They may start selling those jerseys with different names on the back of them.
You know,
and maybe that helps spread the message of what's going on in this country. Maybe it does. But that's, you know, health is first. Health is first. Keep these guys healthy in the Orlando bubble. Let's make sure we get the COVID under control. And if we do get basketball back, look, again, Friday when the schedules got released and I see the buzz on Twitter and I see everybody talking about it, I was happy as hell saying, damn, the new normal is shortly coming back. It is near. Baseball's going to be back around. Basketball looks like, look, and they're trying, man. Aldo Silver and company, the NBA, you got to give them credit for trying to think this thing through and getting to this point. So at least we have a schedule in place. We have schedules in place to see actual games, games that mean something. And it looks like, for the most part, players are going to play. I don't know if any, you know, other than Willie Cauley-Stein and Trevor Ariza, Avery Bradley, Davis Bertans, looks like all systems are going. And there's going to be no asterisk. This year, there's going to be no asterisk, and everybody has rest. I can't help but be excited about this, Stardiego. I really can't.
I'm excited for when it starts. I really am. I think as we roll up in the next 4 weeks, we're going to start talking more basketball. These guys will start getting into the bubble. They'll start practicing. The media attention will be diminished, but we'll start getting stories about how guys look and who's in good shape, who's maybe not in good shape, and then we'll start talking about it. And again, hopefully they can pull this off and it'll be good for everybody.
Yeah. And what did we say? We've been doing this for almost 3 months. What did I learn about myself during the pandemic, man, is I didn't realize how much of my life was predicated around sports. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but you take it for granted. And you're telling me the first show we get to do after there's live action, it's going to be like a rebirth. I cannot wait. I don't want to be negative and say I'm a bit apprehensive because of COVID-19, but I'd be lying to you. But if we actually get to do a show reacting to game and playoff games, better yet with the NBA and then baseball on top of that, I mean, man, don't take this the wrong way. I mean, this is the longest drought we've all been through just as a society without sports. So I can't wait for us to get that day back.
888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. Warrior fans, where are you at? I want to hear from the Warrior fans here at 95.7 The Game. Who's your favorite? Who's your dark horse? Who are you rooting for? Warrior fans rooting for anybody? 888-957-9570. Want to hear from Warrior fans on the upcoming NBA restart July 30th in Orlando. We'll continue to talk some NBA. We'll get back into Cam Newton, and we'll talk about Vince Carter. We didn't get a chance to do that Friday. We'll talk a little about Vince Carter retiring from the sport here on 95.7 The Game. It's Matt Steinman, it's Derek Guru Johnson, Bonte Hill, and it's all brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full-service banking, no compromises.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.